Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Pei Dalet. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. On Daf Pei Dalet Omed Aleph, the second line from the top, we are in the middle of a search for sources for points made in a brisa that was found on Daf Pei Gimel Omed Aleph. The Braisa dealt with different types of prohibited situations with regard to service in the Beis HaMikdash. The bulk of the list concerned those types of offenses that would carry with it a penalty of Misa Bidei Shemayim. The latter part of the source contained different situations that carried with it a penalty of La, of a Lav, namely a violation of a negative precept, but not Misa Bidei Shemayim. In that list, we found Onain, a Kohen who had a relative that died, and on the day of the death, before the burial, the Kohen is considered in a state of Onain, and he is not allowed to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. If he does, so the Braisa said that he is over a lav, a negative precept. He's in violation of a negative precept. The Gemara asks, Oinein Minolan, from where do we know that? Tichtiv, there's a pasuk that says in the context of a Kohen Gadol, in the context of the high priest, the pasuk tells us that he, if he is an Onain, unlike the Kohen Hedyot, if the high priest is an Onain, he is to stay in the Beis HaMikdash, and by staying there and continuing to do Avoda, he is preserving his sanctity. And from that, we will infer, if it were someone else, a standard Kohen, namely a non-Kohen Gadol, he must not stay in the Beis HaMikdash to continue with temple service. The pasuk says, "Umin haMikdash lo yetzei." The Kohen Gadol shall not leave the Beis HaMikdash when he is an Onain. Velo yichalel es Mikdash Elokav. The pasuk goes on to say, "Ki nezer shemen mishchas Elokav olav ani Hashem." For he is the appointed one, the anointed one. Ha acher. We've squiggled on the word ha to draw your attention to the inference point. However, if it were somewhere else, a standard Kohen, Ha acher shelo yotza, then chilel, he is in violation. Amale rav ado lirava, v'neilav chilul chilul mitruma. Why not learn a word comparison from truma? In other words, in the case of the Kohen Gadol, from which we are inferring the din of a Kohen Hedyot, we see the word lo yichalel. And by truma, we know, truma betumas haguf, we know there is also the word chilol. And the Gemara goes on, ma'ala halon b'misa, just like in the case of truma, there is a death penalty at the hands of heaven. Afkan b'misa, let the oinein as well, the oinein sh'ovad, be chayav misa b'nei shemayim, and not just be'azhara, not just a violator of a negative precept. The Gemara answers, miksiv bei begufei, does it say the word chilol in the context of Kohen Hedyot? Be'oinein directly. It doesn't say a pasuk by the Kohen Hedyot onein directly the word chilol. Michlola kasi, it is a result of an inference from the Kohen Gadol. Have a dover habo min aklal. The issue of the onein Kohen Hedyot is something derivative. The whole dover habo min aklal, something that is of derivative nature, ain donin oisoi begzera shuffle. We don't apply word comparisons to those type of situations. Yoishev min olan. From where do we know that a kohen who serves in the Beis HaMikdash while seated is over alav? Omar Rova, Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Kro. The pasuk says, Kivoy bochar Hashem elokov mikol shivotecho la'amoid l'shares. the Kohanim have been chosen to serve in the Beis Hamikdash, to stand and serve. It says, La'amido b'chartiv v'lo li'yeshiva. For standing I have chosen them, and not for sitting. Balmum, Rabbi Omer b'misa v'chachome omrim b'azhara. This is also a quote from the Tanaic source on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, but since it's more than just a one word, we've also put it in a frame indicating its Tanaic nature. We saw concerning a Baal Mum that does avoda, a machlokes tanoim between Revi, who says it's chayav misa b'dei shamayim, and the Chomim, who say it is an azhara. As far as markings are concerned, we see a diamond that appears, and you scan ahead and you'll notice that another diamond appears a little later, the first one with Rebbe's name in it, and the second with the Rabbanan. The Mivneh note on the outside margin features the diamond, Mikorois shel Rebbe v'Rabbanan l'shitoiseyem b'balmum shishimeish. We'll be discussing sources for each one of these opinions. The Rebbe b'Misa, we know that according to Rebbe, a balmum shishimeish is chayav death at the hands of heaven. The Rabbanan eino b'Misa. It's not b'Misa. We will also be noticing some triangles here, and those are explained. Shlovim limtso es hamokor shel Rebbe. These will be stages in trying to find the source for Rebbe, the b'misa, that Baal Mum Shishimesh is b'misa. So continuing now in the Gemara, my time of the Rebbe that said about, what is the reason for Rebbe that said Baal Mum Shishimesh is b'misa? Dichtiv ach el haparoches lo yavo. The continuation of that pasuk we have included on the side of the Gemara. It says, Ve'el ha-mizbeach lo yigash, ki mumboi, ve'lo yichalel es mikdoshai, ki ani Hashem mekatsham. So in this pasuk, we see a Baal Mum is featured, and we also see the expression lo yichalel, and we turn back to the Gemara, ve'yolef chilul chilul mitruma. We'll, through word comparison, learn from truma, ma lahalon b'misa, just like by truma, there is misa b'dei shamayim, Af kan b'misa. So too, in the case of Baal Mum Shesheret that served, it's also b'misa, and that's Shitas Rebbe. The Gemara asks, "V'neilaf chilul chilul minosar." Why not use a word comparison to nosar? Ma lahalom b'koreis af kan b'koreis. Just like by nosar, the leftover meat from a korban that's left over after its proper time, if consumed, is penalized by the koreis penalty, being cut off, dying prematurely. Afkan, let us say the same thing regarding the Baal Mum Shishimesh. So the Gemara answers, Mistabro mitruma havile lemelaf. It's most likely that we should compare the Baal Mum Shishimesh to truma shikain. We know that they have in common psuhaguf mipsulaguf. The Baal Mum is a lacking in his body. There's a physical imperfection, and the Kohen Shishimesh is also, he is bodily tame, he is impure, as opposed to the issue of the Nosar, which is not a psu haguf. The psu, the lacking there is in the meat itself. Adarabo, quite to the contrary. Notice we've squiggled on the line Adarabo. It's one of our it's a marking we use often for contrast words. So here we're contrasting and suggesting an alternative approach. Mi Nosar have le lemelaf. We should learn the Baal Mum from Nosar and resulting in Kores, Shikain, Kodesh, Pnim, Pigol, Venosar. The issue at hand of Baal Mum, Shishimesh, and Nosar have in common the fact that it's korban related, it's kodesh, and it's pnim, it's inside the Beis HaMikdash, unlike Truma with regard to both of these elements, and also Pigul v'Nosar, the issue of Pigul and Nosar are common to the Baal Mum Shishimesh and the Nosar issue, which are korban related matters, just like Pigul and Nosar are korban related, Mashenkin b'Truma, as opposed to Truma, where there's no relevance of Pigul and Nosar. So the question remains, how do I know Shitas Rebbe that Baal Mum Shishimesh is b'misa? Maybe it is b'koreis. If you were to suggest I'm going to learn from Truma, I'm going to throw the ball back and say, no, learn from Nosar. And Nosar is not misa, rather Nosar is a different kind of penalty, albeit a more severe penalty of koreis. So how does Rebbe know it's b'misa? Ela mitome shishimesh gomar. He learns Baal Mum from the case of Tomei Shishimesh, where you have in common Psu Haguf mi Psu Haguf, and also Kodesh Pnim Pigol Venosar, mi Kodesh Pnim Pigol Venosar. In other words, all of the elements are in common between the case of Baal Mum, which is Shitas Rebbe, that it's B'misa, and Tomei Shishimesh, which is also B'misa. V'Rabbanan, Omar Kro, Bo. The Rabbanan say that the Pasuk, in the case of Truma, it says the word Bo. Bo is in it. It's a limitation word. In it, in Truma, there is Misa, V'lo, B'Baal Mum. But, and to the exclusion of the case of the Baal Mum Shishimesh. It is not B'misa, which is Shitas Rabbanan. The following too is a quote from the source on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. The source there said, Hezid b'mi'ila, Rabbi Omer b'misa, v'chachamim Omer b'azhora. We've noted before that the double underlining is a highlighting of the particular offense that was cited in the source. The issue here is someone who violates, who benefits from sanctified materials, knowingly derives benefit from them. That's called mi'ila, and or hezid b'mi'ila. Rebbe says it's b'misa my time of the Rebbe. What's the source for Rebbe? Omar Rabbi Avo, gomar chet chet mitruma. He, through word comparison, he learns from truma, ma'ala halon b'misa, just like by truma there was a death penalty at the hands of heaven, afkan b'misa, so too in the case of hezid b'mi'ila. V'rabbonan Amri, the Rabbonan respond to that by saying, Omar Kro Bo. It says the word Bo, which is a limitation expression in the context of Truma, Boi V'loi B'mi'ila, to the exclusion of Mi'ila, which does not carry with it a penalty of Misa. The Mishnah on Pei Aleph Omid Beis had the following in it. Zor Shishimesh B'mikdosh, Rabbi Akiva Omer B'chenek, V'chachomim Omrim B'dei Shomayim. The topic heading that we've assigned to this piece of Gemara is found on the side, the Nosei. Machlokes Tanoim, Mahu Oinshoi Shel Zar Shishimesh. What is the punishment for the Zar that served in the Beis Hamikdash, the non-Kohen that did Avodas Hamikdash? We are presented with a Tanaic source that has this Machlokes Tanoim in it, and in the source we have some additional markings that we highlight with a volcano form. That's the expression Ma Lahalon. And then after the Tanaic source, we will see a house marking that features the expression B'mai Komiflugi, in what are they arguing when we, at that point in the Gemara will be analyzing or trying to discover what's the point of argument between the different Tanaic opinions. The Gemara continues. Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Ne'amar Kan, V'Hazor HaKorev Yumos. It says, regarding our topic, the topic at hand of a non-Kohen that serves in the Beis HaMikdash, Yumos, Ne'amar Lahalon, it says in the context of the 250 men that followed in the Korach rebellion, it says, Kol HaKorev, HaKorev El Mishkan Hashem Yomus. We've also added a dashed underline to the expressions Yumas and Yomus. Ma Lahalon, in the case of Anshe Korach Bidei Shamayim, their death was not through court execution, but rather through heavenly intervention. Afkan, so too in the context of the Zar Shishimesh Bidei Shamayim. His death also is a Shamayim-oriented one. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ne'amar Kan V'Hazor HaKorev Yumos. V'ne'amar lahalon, it says in the case of a Novi that leads a community to serve idols. That's called Hadochor, or Mediach. V'hanovi hahu, oi chaylem hachalem hahu, yumos. Ma lahalon, just like in the case of Novi shi'idiach, it's biskila. It's punishable by stoning af kan, biskila. So too, the Zar Shishimesh, according to Rabbi Akiva, is biskila. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri Oimer, he holds that a Novi Shehediach is punishable by chenek, by strangulation. Ma lahalon b'chenek, just like the Novi Shehediach is penalized, is punished through chenek, avkan b'chenek. So too the Zar Shishimesh suffers the chenek death penalty. The Gemara now asks, what is the point of machlokas between these tanoim? Notice how we've marked with a house marking the expression b'maikom ifli. It repeats itself three lines, a third of the wide lines as well. B'maikom ifligi, Rabbi Yishmoel v'Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yishmoel held its miso b'dei shemayim for the Zar Shishimesh, and Rabbi Akiva holding skila. What is the point of their controversy, or the basis of their controversy? Rabbi Akiva Sovar, Rabbi Akiva who learns Zar from Novi, so he holds Donin Yumas Miyumas. He prefers the fact that the words in the case of Zar and Novi are identical. the word yumas, and we've featured that with our dashed underlining. When you look back at the source, you can see the dashed underlined words and see their similarity. V'ein donin yumas miyomus, but I don't want to learn the case of the zar from the case of Korach, where the word that appeared in his context was yomus. They're slightly different. V'Rabbi Shmuel Savar, Rabbi Shmuel, who did learn the Zar from Korah, holds, Donin Hedyot Mihedyot, I prefer to learn commoner from commoner. Just like the Zar is a commoner, I would like to learn that from the case of Korah, which were common men. V'Ein Donin Hedyot Minovi, but I'm not going to learn the case of Zar, Shishimesh, from the case of Novi Shediach, the case of the prophet, being that they're not similar in that sense. Rabbi Kiva, how does he respond to that particular point? He says, in fact, the case of the Novi Shidiach is also a form of commoner. Kevan Shidiach, since he had the nerve to try to convince a city to go astray and serve idols, Ein Lucha Hedyot Godol Mizeh, you don't have a low life any lower than this, so to speak. A hedyot meaning a commoner. There is no one of a more common nature than this. In other words, he doesn't deserve to be described as with the lofty title of Novi anymore. B'mai komiflegi Rabbi Akiva of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. Rabbi Akiva held that a Novi Shehidiach is Beskila, and through a comparison to Zar Shishimesh, he came to the conclusion that the Zar Shishimesh is also Beskila. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri held that a Novi is Bechenek. We've also entitled this little piece of Gemara on the side the Nosei Hemshech, the continuation of the previous topic, Machlokes Tanoim, Mahu Oinshel Shel Novi Shidiach Esarabim Lavod Azor. What's the punishment that the Novi Shidiach deserves? And as we've seen, you've got Rabbi Kiva holding Skila and Rabbi Yochanan Nuri holding Chenek. The Gemara asks, B'mai Komifligi Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. The Gemara says, B'pluto de Rabbi Shimon V'rabonan. Their machlokas is parallel to another machlokas tanoim that is between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan Tesanya. The following source, Novi Shidiach Beskila. Novi, who leads the public astray to idolatry, deserves the Skila penalty. That is the Rabbanan that would parallel Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Shimon Omer Bechenet. Rabbi Shimon's opinion is like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, who says it's through strangulation. The Gemara asks a question, Ho Anan Tanan, Rabbi Kiva Oimer Bechenek. But we have in our Mishnah, in a Tanaic source, we've got Rabbi Kiva holding that a Zar Shishimesh, in the Mishnah, it said that a Zar Shishimesh is Bechenek. That you can see in the Dibur HaMaschil that appeared a number of lines up. We had a quote from the Mishnah in Pei Beis Amud Beis. The two dots of the Gemara, where the Gemara printers put in the two dots, you see Zar Shishimesh B'Mikdash Rabbi Kiva Omer Bechenek. And how can it be then that Rabbi Akiva in the Brisa will be telling you that the Zar Shishimesh is going to be Beskila? The Gemara answers, Trei Tanoi Valiba de Rabbi Kiva. There are two opinions with regard to what Rabbi Kiva himself holds. You have the opinion presented in the Mishnah where Rabbi Kiva holds that the Zar Shishimesh would be Bechenek, and you have the opinion of Rabbi Kiva as presented in the Brisa, Zar Shishimesh Beskila. The Gemara goes on to explain. Masnisen, the Mishnah that said Chenek, equals Rabbi Shimon Valibit Rabbi Kiva. That's Rabbi Shimon's version of Rabbi Kiva. And the Brisa that taught that it's Beskila under Rabbi Kiva's name is Rabbanan Valiba de Rabbi Yakiva. That's the Rabbanan's version of Rabbi Akiva. With that, we conclude the ninth parak and now turn to Amud Beis. This is the beginning of the 10th parak of Maseches Sanhedrin. Elu hein hanechnokin. The following are to suffer the death penalty of strangulation. Hamake of v'imoy, one who strikes his parents. V'goinev nefesh misrael, kidnapping. V'zokei mamri al pi Beis Din, a sage that disagrees with the Sanhedrin HaGadol. and goes on back to his town and paskins against what they said. The Novi Hasheker, the false prophet, Vamisnavi Bishem Avodas Kechavim, one who says prophecy in the name of idols. Vabo al Ashes Ish, relations with a married woman. Vizomame Bas Kohen, and witnesses that are found to be lying about the immorality concerning a Bas Kohen, an Ashes Ish, that happens to be a Bas Kohen, a married woman who herself is the daughter of a Kohen, and witnesses come along and testify that she was behaving by practicing intimacy with other men. If those witnesses that testify thusly are found to be lying by having said concerning them, how could they testify they were with us in a different place on that same day? Those are called Zoma Bebasko, and they are punished by Chenek. Even though the standard punishment for Zomimim is what they tried to do to so and so, they themselves get when they are discovered to be lying. In the case of the Bas Kohen, the truth is that she would get the Sreifa penalty. They get what they were trying to do to the paramour, the man with whom she was conducting the intimacy. He was going to get Chenek. Even though his partner, the Bas Kohen, gets Sreifa, the man gets Chenek. Hence, they get what they were trying to do, not to her, but rather to him. And Ubo Allah, the paramour himself, the one that was having the intimacy with the Bas Kohen, he gets Chenek. Before we go on in the Gemara, we take note of the topic heading, the Nosei, Hoichocha, proof, Demake Oviv, Shechayev Chenek, Hanu Make Shiesh Boi Chabura. The striking of the parent that leads to a penalty of Chenek must be a striking, a hitting that creates a bruise. Veloi Oinesh al Ritzichas Oviv. And we're not talking about a penalty for the murder of one's father. Continuing now in the Gemara, Make Oviv Imo Menolad, from where do we know that there's a death penalty for striking one's parent? Striking, and we emphasize in our introduction, we're talking about striking and not killing. The Gemara itself will clarify that point. Dichtiv, Make Oviv Imo Mos Yimos. It says one who strikes his parents is chayav to be executed. The whole misa hamuvatur of Stam, where you see the word misa stated in an unqualified fashion, in other words, without a description of sokoil yisokel, which would mean stoning, or visaraf, or bur, or through the method, the sreifa method. If you find it unqualified, it is eino elo chenek. The Gemara says the misa stam is a reference to death by strangulation. The triangle form that we've used here, and it's a series indicator, meaning that there's another one that will show up later, is described on the side as Hatsos Chilufios, alternative suggestions. We're going to have suggestions that are alternative to what we just said. The Gemara asks, Emo ad de kotole miktal. Maybe the Pasuk, when it says, Make ovivimo, mosi mos, that he who strikes his parent is chayav death, that's only if the parent dies. But on simple striking, no death. The Gemara responds with a point of logic. We are going to tell you that you could not possibly think that the chenek penalty is going to be for killing one's father. Why is that? Could you think possibly that if one kills, murders an outsider, a stranger, that carries with it the sayaf death penalty? That is a given, that's a known. And we also are going to assume that the sayaf penalty is more severe than the chenek penalty. So could it possibly be that for murder of an outsider there would be the sayaf penalty, the oviv b'chenek, and for murder of one's father there would be the strangulation penalty, which is a lighter type penalty? So, being that that's not reasonable, therefore the pasuk of Make Ovavimo Mosimos, this pasuk which refers to a chenek penalty, it's not referring to the murder of Ovavimoi. This piece of logic, though, is dependent or contingent upon us accepting a premise. The premise being that Sayef, death by sword, is more stringent than chenek. However, if you were to flip things around and say that Sayaf is the least of the punishments, then it could be that for striking one's father, and certainly for killing one's father, maybe the for killing one's father, it's more severe, and he could get the chenek. So the Gemara says, "Ha nicha, it is fine that we just said there is no havamina to say chenek for murder of father. L'madomar chenek kal, according to the opinion that holds that chenek is kal, and therefore, if for murder of an outsider there is a sayef penalty, a death by sword." Which is more severe, there couldn't possibly arise the havamina that for murder of father there would be a lighter penalty. According to the opinion that holds that chenek, death by strangulation, is more stringent than sayef. My equal amema, what are you going to say? Namely, it could be that for ritzichas oviv there is chenek, which is more severe than sayef, which is the penalty for ritzichas acher. So, but for Makia Aviv, I wouldn't say that it's Bechenek. Elo Midichtiv, rather from the following. So from the following, we are to know what we're looking for. Make ish vomeis mos yumos, uksiv oi be'evo hiko biodo v'yomois. Shma mino, kolhecho di'iko hako stam, lav misahu. From the fact that where you see the word Make, accompanied with Misa, someone strikes and murders, if the Torah is talking about a striking which has as part of it the murder of the victim, it says it straight out. Therefore we can conclude that wherever the word Hako appears Stam without the additional Misa word, it's Lav Misahu, it's not a reference to death, but rather as in our case striking without the father dying. We have a bracketed section here, and we take advantage of the note concerning this in the margin of the Gemara where you find the asterisk, the single asterisk. Achrei hasugrayim, haGemara mamshicha im oid hatzal chilufis. After the brackets, the Gemara will continue with another alternative suggestion. Ubesoch hasugrayim, haGemara oise tzrichusa b'shnei psukim. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara will show how I need to have the two psukim we just mentioned, the two psukim with the word hako and misa, a hitting with death. The itzirich lemichtav makeish, that was shmois chof aleph. The itzirich lemichtav kol make nefesh, posuk perik lamed hay in bamidbar lamed hay posuk chof aleph. Let's correct ourselves. That's Bamidbar Lamed Hey, Pasuk Lamed. We've in fact included this Pasuk in the margin. Kol Make Nefesh Lefi Edim Yirtzach Es Horotzeach. So the Gemara goes on to say, V'itzrich Lemichtav Make Ish, V'itzrich Lemichtav Kol Make Nefesh. These are two psukim that refer to murder and the death of the murderer himself. Di kasav rachmona make ish vomeis. If I would have had just that pasuk, havi amino ish debar mitzvah in katalo. That if an ish, an adult, is the victim, is murdered, then there is a death penalty for the murderer. However, if the victim is a minor who is not at yet a stage of one who's obligated to fulfill mitzvahs, hence upon his murder, the murder of the katan, there is not necessarily a death penalty. That's what I would have thought. Kasav rachmona kol make nefesh. Therefore, the Torah uses a word without restriction to ish. Ish would mean an adult. Rather, the word nefesh, meaning any human being, any age. The I kasav rachmona kol make nefesh. If I would have had just the posuk in Bamidbar Lamed Hey, posuk Lamed, that says kol make nefesh, I would have thought that even for committing an abortion or a killing of a child that's called a nathel. This is a child that's born prematurely, let's say during an 8th month pregnancy. If one kills them, had I not had the pasuk of kol makan nefesh, if I had the pasuk of kol makan nefesh without the pasuk of the pasuk of makan ish, so I would have thought even for nephilim, afilu ben shmoina, the 8th month pregnancy type child, I would have thought there is a guilt of death penalty with them. Tzrichi, therefore, I need the other pasuk, the pasuk of makan ish, to exclude the killing of nephilim. The Ema, going back to our topic of hitting parents, the Ema afagav de lo ovid be chabura, maybe we should suggest that for striking a parent even without creating a bruise, there would be a death penalty of chenek. Aloma tanan, so why does it say in a subsequent Mishnah, it says, hamake ovid v'imoy eno chayav ad shiaseh b'en chabura, that for striking one's parents there's no death penalty until a bruise is inflicted. Maybe, though, even without the bruise, there should be a death penalty. Omakro, make odom, umake behemo. The reference here is to Psukim in Vayikra, Perek Chav Dalet. You see, Pasuk Chav Aleph says, umake behemo yishamena, umake odom yumos. Ma make behemo ad de ovid bo chaburo. Just like in the case of striking an animal, there is no guilt until a bruise is inflicted, dichtiv bo nefesh, because in the context of hitting, of striking a behemoth, you have the word nefesh, and the word nefesh is a reference to a bruise. Af make odom, so too in the case of make odom, which is parallel to make behemoth, ad de ovid chabura. There is no death penalty, as is characteristic of the case of striking one's parent, unless a chabura, a bruise, is inflicted. Maskiflo Rav Yirmiya, Ela me'ata, based on what you're saying now, that nefesh is a reference to a bruise. Hikhisha ba'avonim, if one weakens an animal by loading stones up on the animal and straining the animal, but not creating a bruise. Hochei nami delo mechayev, are you going to tell me that there is no financial responsibility? If I come along and weaken your animal by loading up stones on its back, are you going to tell me that there is no guilt? That's not true. So, being that that's the case, how can I use the behemoth as a precedent for suggesting only if there is a bruise? When we see that by the behemoth, that's not the case. Elo im eino inyan lenefesh behemoth. If that which it says by behemoth, it says nefesh by behemoth, if the word nefesh that appears by behemoth, as we pointed out before in Vayikra Chavdal at Posuk Yudches, it said there, umake nefesh behemoth, if the word nefesh there has no relevance to the context in which it's found, deha I nami chisha bavonim chayov, because as we said a moment before, that even if you weaken the animal, there still is a chiyuv, so there's no necessity of insisting on the appearance of a bruise only. Therefore, what am I going to do with the word nefesh that appears by the behemoth? Teneu inyan lenefesh adam. So use that word as a reference to the case of nefesh adam, which is a reference to one's father. Hence, that even hence by the creation of a bruise alone, even without the father's death, there still carries with that a death penalty. The Rashi, where the star is drawn into the Rashi, you can see a little bit higher up on the page, lenefesh adam dahinu oviv, the afagav de lo bo'inon misa, that even though we don't require the father's death, chabura miha bo'inon, we do require a bruise to be inflicted on the father in order to talk about the execution of the son. Question, elo hekesho lamali, so then what do I need the hekesh for, the comparison between Adam and behemoth? This is referred to above where you see the line where there's the parallel arrow. On that line, the Gemara cited the pasuk make Adam and make behemoth. So what am I to use the parallel for if we in fact see there is no direct parallel. We just got finished saying that by the behema there's guilt even without the bruise. Simply by weakening someone else's behema, there's obligation for financial restitution. As opposed to the case of striking the father, there is a need for a bruise before we can talk about execution. So what do I need the comparison for? Answer one, l'chidetanya debe chizkiah. I need the comparison for the teaching of Beit Hiskia, which taught that, this is of course not cited over here in the Gemara, but it was taught in a previous sukkah. From the Tana Beit Hiskia, we learned that in just like in the case of striking an animal or the killing of an animal, no distinction is made between shogeg, mezid, etc. And there's always a need to make financial restitution to the owner that whose animal you killed. Regardless of how, oina, shogeg, mezid, rotzon, so too there is no distinction with the case of the killing of a person either, in that there is no difference made between shogeg, mezid, oinas, rotzon, etc., and so forth, regard to the need for financial restitution. Namely, according to Beit Hiskia, there is never need for financial restitution. So that the comparison between Adam and Behemoth is the concept of no distinction made. Well, the Gemara goes on, Ha nichal d'man d'islei tana b'chizkia. The use of Make Adam, Make Behemoth, the hekesh between the two, is fine if you accept the teaching of Beit Hiskia. El d'man d'leslei tana b'chizkia, hekesh olam ali. However, those that do not accept the teaching of Beit Hiskia, then what am I going to do with the hekesh? With the comparison between Make Adam and Make Behema. Answer, this is a second approach. Ma Make Behema lirafua potter, af Make Adam lirafua potter. Just like if one causes an injury to someone's animal, namely bruises the animal, with the because there was an intention to offer the animal some medical assistance, refuah, healing, for healing purposes. So just like a striking that's done to the animal for healing purposes, one would be exempt from any payment. Af maki adam refuah, so too striking a person with the intent of healing him is exempt, carries an exemption with it. The Ibayalo, a question on this topic was raised. Ben Maushiyaki's Dom Li'oviv, can a son bloodlet, which is a form of Make Adam, it's a form of striking, it's in this case, it's bloodletting. Is a son allowed to bloodlet his father? Rav Masna Omar, V'yohavto L'reacha Kamocha. That the Jewish people are circumscribed, are restricted from doing unto others that which one would not want to have done unto himself. But if one is would have bloodletting done to himself, which of course is a form of refuah, everyone would allow that. So one can do that to someone else as well, including one's father. Rav Dimi bar Chinuno Omar, Make Adam u'Make Behemo. And this is, if the question was raised, what do I need the hekesh for? You see it here, the hekesh of Mak Adam, Make Behemo, Rav Dimi's conclusion, that from this comparison we learn, Ma Make Behemo l'refuah poter, Af Make Adam l'refuah poter, just like the striking of an animal for healing purposes that is not financially, one is not financially obligated to pay for that, because he's doing it for refuah purposes, so too, Make Adam, namely one's father, if he's Maki's Dam to one's father, if it's for refuah purposes, it's allowed. We have a double underlining here featuring two incidents concerning son and father with regard to causing of injury with non-malicious intent. Rav lo shavik librei. Rav did not allow his son lemishkal le silva to take out a thorn, a splinter. Silva being a small piece of wood. So Rav would not allow his son to assist him in splinter removal. Mar bre de Ravina lo shavik libre le miftach le kafsa. Marbury Ravina would not allow his son to release fluid from a burn wound. Why? Dilma Chovil, because in the course of trying to do these things, there might be some a bruise resulting as well. Vahavile Shigigas Isur. Even though it was without intent, even though it was shogeg, he was attempting to release the fluid from the burn wound. But if a bruise results, that would be a shigigas isur, the shogeg, the unintentional performance of something that, if done intentionally, would have carried with it a death penalty. The Gemara asks, ihochi achir nami. If that be the case, there, how is it allowed to do these things to an outsider? Why would we allow a splinter removal or fluid release from burn wounds when it comes to someone else? Let it be known that there's a general prohibition of injuring other people as well. So the Gemara answers, why with regard to other people do we not restrict these actions? Achir, when it comes to an outsider, the worst case scenario is, let's say someone removes a splinter and a bruise results, so that bruise is unintentional. Let us say someone would do to an acher a bruise with intention. That's called shigigas lav. That would be called, the violation there would be a lav, would be a violation of a negative precept. Hence, when done b'shogeg, when done unintentionally, it's called shigigas lav, the unintentional violation of a lav. However, beno, when a son removes a splinter or releases fluid from a burn wound and a result, an injury results, there's blood flow as well, though that's called an unintentional shigigas chenik, an unintentional performance of something that, if done with intention, would have carried with it a death penalty. Hence, you can see the difference of levels. When it comes to the shigigas lav, we allow a person to engage in that activity. However, when it comes to a shigigas chenek, there are those, like we saw Rav and Mar Barei de Ravino, that would not allow their sons to get involved, even though it's b'shogeg, but it's the shogeg of something that is of a severe nature. V'hadisnan machat shel yad litol bo esakoitz. With regard to Shabbos, it says that it is allowed to carry around, there's a heter tiltol of a sewing needle. Machat shel yad is a reference to a small needle. And why is it mutter to metaltel that? It's mutter to move it around if you're moving it around for the purpose of removing a splinter. That even though it's a kli shemlachto le'isur, since you're using it with tzorach gufo for a mutter activity, it's allowed to carry it around. The Gemara asks, though, Lechush Dilma Chovil, how can you talk about the allowance of splinter removal on Shabbos? Isn't there the possibility of a blood flow following as well, which is we call an injury or a bruise? The Havyolo Shigigas Skila. His intention is not for the purpose of creating the bruise, but if the bruise results, he would be called a shogeg on an act. That's skila, that a Shabbos violation, the causing of the bruise, a Shabbos violation, which carries with it a penalty of skila. So how can we allow splinter removal, as you can see from this particular Tanaic source? The Gemara answers, the bruise that results on Shabbos, hasam mekalkelhu, it's a destructive activity. And there's a rule that that things that are of a destructive nature are not punishable by skila. Well, that is a fine explanation according to the opinion that says that a mekakel, even in the case of a bruise, that a mekakel bechabura is exempt from Shabbos violation. Hence, I can understand why it's mutter to remove splinters on Shabbos. And the resultant bruise would be of a non-Shabbos violation nature. El olamandi omar chayov ma'ikol omeymar. But according to the opinion that says that mekalkel b'chabura is chayov, that if an injury, that the commission of an injury, of a bruise, even though it's of a destructive nature, it is a Shabbos violation. It is punishable b'skila. So how is it that we allow, according to this particular opinion, the removal of splinters? Is there not a fear that a bruise might result? So the Gemara answers, and notice we have a long answer marking. It goes to the top of Pei Hei Amud Aleph. Man Shamis Le Domar Mekakel B'chabura Chayav. Who is the opinion that holds that injuries that are committed, bruises that are committed on Shabbos, is Chayav, is considered a Shabbos violation? Rabbi Shimon he. That is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. There is a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, concerning how to classify mekalkel b'chabura. According to Rabbi Shimon, mekalkel, even though it's a destructive activity, but since it concerns the commission of a bruise, it is chayav. Well, that happens to be Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Shimon ha'amar, but we also know about Rabbi Shimon, he holds kol melacha she'eino tzricha legufa poter oleha. Those types of Shabbos activities that are not needed for themselves, but the performance of those activities is, in this particular case, done for some side outcome, then if it results, there is no Shabbos violation. Let us glance at the Rashi at the bottom of Pei Dalamud Beis. Mekalkel hu. The Rashi presents the opinions of the Gemara. The first opinion said that mekalkel b'chabura is potter, and Rashi goes on, v'chol ha-mekalkelin p'turin b'chilul Shabbos. All destructive activities carry with them an exemption as far as Shabbos is concerned. The meleches machsheves ksiv. The Torah, when talking about Shabbos violations, talks about planned constructive activities. The ein mechayev amakalkel el Rabbi Shimon. The only one who holds that there is guilt when it comes to a destructive activity, it happens to be Rabbi Shimon. Umekalkel b'chabura, Rabbi Shimon, nami lo mechayev, elo b'miskavei mekach. Even with regard to mekalkel b'chabura, Rabbi Shimon holds that there is no Shabbos penalty unless one has kavona. His intention is to create the bruise. Dehavei tzorech l'chabola. In that case where his intention is to create the bruise, so the bruise is what he is the intended outcome, and it's what he is concentrating on. Aval hanoitel kaitz. The one who is engaged with removing a thorn, he has no intention whatsoever of creating a bruise. Ein tzorech l'chabola. He doesn't need the chabola. He has no need for the injury. Ubirtsono lo yechabel. And if he had it his way, he would prefer it not coming about. Hence, if a bruise does result, that's called melacha she'eino tzricha legufa. It's a bruise that was not the goal of his activity. And as a result of that, Rabbi Shimon says there is an exemption. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.